Romans chapter 5 in your Bibles. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
We're talking about the name of Jesus in this series. Amen. Let's just, as you're over there in Romans chapter 5, let me just give you a quick review of where we've been the past 4 weeks, if I may. In lesson number 1, we talked about Jesus' all-powerful name. We saw the importance of praying to the Father in Jesus' name. We saw that we don't pray for Jesus' sake. And we saw the importance of not trusting in self-righteousness, amen, but trusting in Jesus' righteousness, and, amen, and trusting in His name in prayer. In lesson number 2, we talked about Jesus using His name. Again, we at that class, we had a review, and we saw the importance of using His name in prayer. Praying to the Father in Jesus' name, not praying to Jesus, amen? You're not going to get too far praying to Jesus, not going to get too far praying to Mary, not going to get too far praying in your own name, amen? You might make a little headway praying in my name, but it's doubtful, amen? Hallelujah. Just a little pulpit humor, and Bob always says, very little, amen? We also saw in that class, we can use and we should use and we must use Jesus' name against Satan and demon powers, because if we don't take authority over Satan and demon powers, we're not going to make much progress in the spirit realm. Amen? If we're waiting for the Father to deal with the devil for us, we got a long wait, because He's already done everything He's going to do about the devil until Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, when the angel comes to grab him by his scruffy little neck and lock him in the pit. Amen? Well, you go read that. That's what the angel does. Amen. It's going to be a huge angel. It's going to bind him with a chain and throw him in the pit. It's going to flush him. Amen. And he's going to be gone for 1,000 years, at which point he'll be let out for a short period of time for the Battle of Armageddon. And at that point, we'll return with Jesus and we will have the personal pleasure of defeating Satan and his militant forces with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll go back into the lake of fire. He'll be cast in there with the false prophet and the beast and all of his demon spirits forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we won't have to deal with him anymore. Amen. We also saw in lesson number 2, we can place a demand on our covenant rights in Jesus' powerful name. Could you clean those for me, please? Thank you very much. Lesson number 3, we saw where Jesus inherited his name, didn't we? We saw that he didn't inherit in heaven. He had everything he needed in heaven. We saw he didn't inherit the power that's in his name on earth. Because when he came to earth, he gave up everything. He stripped himself of his deity, stripped himself of his godness, and he humbled himself like unto the fashion of a man. He became a human being, was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and everything he did on this earth, he did through the agency of the Holy Spirit as a Spirit-filled man. Amen. Not as God, although he was God, he was fully God and fully man, still is. Not 50% God, 50% man. He's not some half God, half human freak. He's holy God and he's holy man. W-H-O-L-L-Y and H-O-L-Y. Holy God and holy man. Amen. He didn't get his name on earth. He got his name, the power that's inherent in his name was bestowed upon him after having gone down into the bowels of hell, walking down the main street of downtown eternity and kicking the gates of hell right off their hinges, taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil, coming back to this earth, and he said, behold, it's me, I'm alive. I was dead, but I'm alive now, and I live forevermore, and I hold in my hands the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Here, therefore, go ye and preach the gospel to all nations. Amen. He gave us power and authority in his name over death, the hell, the grave, Satan and demon powers. Amen. Over the curse of the law of sin and death. Amen. Hallelujah. Last time we were together, we talked about Jesus qualifying to use his name. This is just a quick little review. You remember it. Amen. You took notes. You paid attention. Last time we were together, we saw you don't qualify to use his name unless you're born again. The son's a skeever. That means left. Left-handed. Skeever. Must have been left-handed. We call them lefty. Amen. The sons of lefty. The sons of skeever. They weren't born again, and they tried to cast out unclean spirits. They said in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, and the demons said, well, we know Paul and we know Jesus, but who in the world are you? And they jumped on, jumped on the 7 sons of skeever, gave them a whipping that they'll never forget. It's been recorded for all of eternity, as a matter of fact. Their nakedity was recorded too. They stripped their clothes off them and sent them out in the street running and screaming, pulling their hair out of their head. Amen. They tried to cast them out. They probably ended up with those demons on the inside of them. Amen. Yeah, they weren't born again. You have to be born again to cast out unclean spirits. You must release any unforgiveness. Amen. You got to let it go. And we talked about if you're having a problem releasing unforgiveness, if you're having a problem with someone who's offended you, they've hurt you and you're having a hard time forgiving them, just go to the Father. He understands. He's a good God. He's not a God of wrath. And tell him, I'm having a hard time with this. I'm having a hard time, but I will to forgive. It is my will to do as you ask. I'm just having a hard time. Father, would you allow your forgiveness to flow through me supernaturally for that person, please? And he'll do it. I've had to do it time and time again. Amen? How do you think we've been married for almost 20 years? Barbara's had to do it too. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How about worse than me? Oh, it works. He said it's worse than when I have to do it for you. Amen. It does work. Amen. And then we also saw the importance of understanding that Jesus has already defeated Satan and demon powers. We don't have to defeat them. They're already defeated. The Apostle Paul said that princes of this world have been brought to naught. That's the big fat zero with the rim knocked off. Nothing. They're nothing for us to deal with as long as we use the name of Jesus, as long as we're born again and we don't have unforgiveness in our hearts. They must obey us. They absolutely must. And you don't even have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, although you should. But you don't have to be. If you're born again, they will obey you when you speak to them in Jesus' name. And I'm just impressed to say something at this point. We need to speak to Satan reasonably, respectfully. We don't kowtow to them, but we don't want to be calling them stupid names like Clubfoot, Slewfoot. You know, he doesn't have a red pitchfork and a big long red tail and spiky ears, and we don't want to talk to him disrespectfully. Jude said he's a fallen dignitary. And if we don't deal with him respectfully, now we're not afraid of him, but if we don't deal with him somewhat respectfully, he won't obey us. We need to deal with him respectfully, amen, in the name of Jesus. Don't play games with the devil, not that any of us do, but I've heard people speak to the devil completely disrespectfully like he's a joke or something. He's nothing, but he's not a joke. Amen? He's dangerous if you don't deal with him properly, like electricity. Electricity's fine if it's handled properly. Don't have to be afraid of it. And the devil's fine, too, to handle. We can handle him as long as we do it respectfully, and you'll find that in the book of Jude. He's a fallen dignitary. Even the angels of God, Jude said, when contending over the body of Moses, would not speak to the devil disrespectfully. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Amen. Didn't call him Slewfoot. You know what I mean? You can tell him, get lost. That's fine. He understands. I'm saying, I've heard people call him unreasonable names. We don't want to do that. Amen. So we're talking about the name of Jesus in this series, and tonight we're going to be talking about reigning in Jesus' name. Reigning in Jesus' name. I've told you in practically every class that the early church had revelation of Jesus' name. They had superb revelation of Jesus' name. It held the place in their thoughts. It held the revelation of Jesus' name, the power of Jesus' name, held a place of special significance in the thoughts of the early church, in the prayers of the early church, in the preaching and the teaching of the early church. Amen? And that revelation of the power of Jesus' name and the fact that it belongs to the body of Jesus Christ has all but been lost in this earth. We're in the recovery process, coming back into the earth. Amen? Revelation of the power of Jesus' name is indeed being restored to the body of Christ. Amen. We've been almost ignorant of it. Amen. But we do have the same authority in that name that the early church did. We surely do. We've not been walking in it. I'm, don't get me wrong. I'm not putting anybody down. It's been being restored into the earth in the past 30, 40, 50 years through the ministries of Oral Roberts, Morris Cirillo, Brother Morris Cirillo, a true prophet and apostle of God. That man is a true apostle of God. We're going to be studying the ministry offices sometime soon after we get through the gifts of the Spirit. Dr. Kenneth Hagin, Lester Summerall, of course, Brother Kenneth Copeland. Hallelujah. The Lord uses the Gloria Copeland, Sister Gloria Copeland, these precious men and women of God, reviving us and restoring us to an understanding of the power that really truly is ours in Jesus' strong name. We have the absolute right, because of the righteousness of God, to use the name of Jesus in prayer, against Satan and demon powers and demanding our covenant rights. We have an absolute right to use it and to expect supernatural results. Amen. Now, hallelujah. Lord, open our eyes and ears to all that is hidden in that wonderful name. Amen. Go over there to Romans chapter 5. I've asked you to go there previously. Tonight we're going to be talking about reigning in His name, Jesus reigning in His name. This is lesson number 5 in the series. Amen. All power, all authority has been given to the church in that name. And look right here. Romans chapter 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Let's go to verse 17. Amen. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, please say righteousness, righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says through the fall of Adam, death reigned in the earth. Amen. But through the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, life now reigns on the earth through all who receive Him, through all who receive abundance of grace in Him, and through all who receive the free gift of righteousness. And that's what we're going to talk about briefly here tonight, righteousness. We're going to understand, what righteousness is. If you don't already, if you do, it's going to be a good review for you. Amen? It's going to be good confirmation for you what it is and what it does. Amen? We can never reign over the works of Satan until we fully understand the power that's available in Jesus' name. Until we fully understand the power of righteousness, what it is and what God has made available to us through the power of righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. We have to, even as many born-again believers, they are already the righteousness of God, but they don't realize it. They haven't received revelation of it. Therefore, they haven't received properly the free gift of righteousness. They're not walking in it. They don't understand what it is. Righteousness is one of the most misunderstood doctrines in all of Scripture, and it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. Righteousness is so simple to understand, even a child can understand it. So simple to understand, Barbara says, even Pastor John can understand it. Amen? Hallelujah. Is that what you said about me? I think I did. Hallelujah. It's just such a simple, simple word. Amen? Every pagan religion in the world, from moon worshippers to the New Age movement, has been formed as a result of human beings craving after righteousness, craving after right standing with God. Amen? Now, E.W. Kenyon defines righteousness. We just read that word, Romans 5:17. Let me just read it to you again. As many as receive abundance of grace and the gift, it's a gift, it's free, the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Christ Jesus. E.W. Kenyon has defined righteousness as follows. Let me first tell you briefly who E.W. Kenyon is. He's a man who's in heaven right now. He's an attorney from Seattle, Washington, and a Bible teacher. He's a very successful attorney and a very successful Bible teacher from Seattle, Washington, and he had revelation of righteousness. He was a tremendous Bible teacher. If you can get your hands on any of his books, I would encourage you to do so. He's written many books. He's considered by the devil to be an occultist. His teachings are occultic. The devil hates him. He's been falsely accused of himself being full of the devil. The devil was so intimidated by the revelation that God gave E.W. Kenyon in so many areas in this earth, particularly the message of righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. You would be doing yourself a great Christian service to read anything you can get your hands on by E.W. Kenyon. He has a little book on righteousness. I forget what the name of it is right now. If you can get your hand on his book on righteousness, you'll be doing yourself a great service. Amen. As a believer, he defines righteousness as the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. I'll say that again so you can write that down. E.W. Kenyon defines, and we'll go to the Greek word in a moment, but E.W. Kenyon, that's the best definition I've ever heard of righteousness. The ability to stand in the presence of God Almighty without experiencing guilt or inferiority. Amen? because of what Christ has done with us. It's a free gift given to us in Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Amen. The ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Because of Jesus, man has been restored to the position of dignity and dominion he lost in the garden. Because of Jesus, man has been restored to the position of dominion and dignity that he lost when he fell in the garden. But not only have we been restored through Jesus to the position of dominion and dignity that was lost to us in the garden, we've been restored as family members to the Almighty. And that's, every time it just hits my spirit so strongly, every time I realize humanity through the works of Jesus is now represented in the Holy Trinity. You meditate on that, you'll get a revelation of that, it'll cause your faith to soar. Humanity is represented in the Trinity through Jesus Christ. There is a man, a flesh and bone man who walked in this earth at one point in human history, even as we walk in this earth today, a man, a human being representing all of born-again humanity at the right hand of the Father in heaven. In the position, anytime you see someone standing to the right side of an altar in the Old Testament, to the right side of God, the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God, that's a position of favor, and that's a position of power, and Jesus sits as a human being, a born-again human being, resurrected from the dead at the Father's right hand, representing all of born-again humanity. That's a mind blower, if that's a right way to say it. Amen? That is an astounding Bible fact, that we are seated at the Father's right hand in heaven, in Christ. Oh, glory be to God, being represented in the Holy Trinity. You should go to sleep tonight thinking about that. I'm represented by Jesus in the Trinity. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, seated at the Father's right hand because of Jesus' work in the bowels of hell. I have the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority because of past sins, as a result of past sins, no matter how recent they might be. I have the ability, the privilege and the honor to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. I might sound like a broken record tonight, but I'm not. I'm speaking this over and over by the Spirit of God so it will get down into your spirit. You have been restored to a position of dignity and dominion, but not only that, you have become a member of God's family in Christ Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 8. We're family members. John 1:12. As many as receive Jesus, he gives unto them power. Power. Dunamis. Explosive, mighty power to become the sons and the daughters of God. Oh, hallelujah. I've been hearing so much about the wrath of God lately. It's just so upsetting to my spirit. This is not the work of wrath. Restoring man, giving us his own son to restore us back to a position of dignity and dominion, and to bring us back actually into his family, seating us in a position of authority in Christ at his right hand. That is not a work of wrath, that is a work of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Look right here in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Look at that. God's not wrathful. Jesus doesn't stand between God and man, protecting us from God's wrath, as some people have taught. We've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let me just take a little side road here and share with you. Paul's writing to the Romans. You're in the book of Romans right here. You're in the book of Romans. Paul's talking to the Romans on their own terms, culturally. In Rome, in Paul's day, it was against the law. It was against the law for a servant to call a master Abba. It meant father. It was against Roman law for a servant to call a master's wife Imma. of the servant's mistress, Emma. It was against the law. And Paul is using that to communicate to the Romans. They understood that. They understood it was against the law being a servant to call a master Abba or Emma. But Paul's saying in Christ, we, because of righteousness, because of Jesus' work at Calvary, we are no longer servants of God. We are sons and daughters of God, and we have the legal right now to call him Abba, Father. God doesn't want us to refer to him just as God. He wants us to refer to him as Abba, Father. We have been restored to a position of dignity, dominion, and we have been restored as family members to Almighty God himself. Look right here in verse 16, the Spirit himself. It says itself, but we know, we had that lesson here just recently on the person of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is a him, not an it. Disrespectful to call him it. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirits that we are children of God. I'm telling you tonight, we've been given a new relationship with God, not as servants, but as children. And we can call him Abba Father. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him through persecution, that we may also be glorified together with him. Amen. Listen, born again, people need to realize that at the new birth, they actually became joint heirs with Jesus. Everything we own becomes his, and everything he owns becomes ours. We are joint heirs. Joint heirs. Joint heirs. Not part heirs, half heirs. We are joint heirs with Jesus. That means everything that belongs to Jesus, everything that belongs to God, belongs to his family. Everything that belongs to God, everything that belongs to Jesus, belongs to his family. Amen? Whether you feel like it or not, whether that's possible for you to comprehend that or not, it's still true. It's just something we take by faith. Amen? The Bible is based on faith. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God said in Haggai 2:7, he said, all the gold and silver in the earth is mine. Do you realize that all the gold and silver in the earth is yours? It's for you to access for the preaching of the gospel. If we're joint heirs with Jesus and all the gold and silver in the earth belongs to Jesus, then all the gold and silver in the earth belongs to you. And you can access it if you get your priorities straight. Those who get their priorities straight have the right, the blood-bought right, to exercise the gold and silver that's in this earth. That's what God meant when he said in Deuteronomy 8:18, behold, I've given you power to get wealth, that I may establish my covenant through you. If you understand why money comes, if you can understand why money comes, then God knows he can get it through you. If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Money comes for the same three needs. How does faith come? That's why I'm going to tell you this again. Amen. I probably have told you in the past 6 months, I've probably said this 25 times. Amen. Or more. Money comes for the same three reasons Jesus came. Jesus came, number one, to seek and to save the lost. Luke 10:19. Money comes to seek and save the lost. Number two, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Money comes to destroy the works of the devil. Number three, did I get those in order? Number three, Jesus came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Money comes that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Listen, we've got to get a revelation of that. All the gold and silver in the earth belongs to God, therefore it belongs to us. And if we'll act like responsible heirs of God, he'll get through us whatever he determines he can trust us with. To whatever degree you are determined to use what he sends you to preach the gospel, to that same degree, he'll get the financing to you. How do you think Kenneth, I use Kenneth Copeland as such an example. Kenneth Copeland got a revelation of righteousness about 30 years ago, and he took off with it like a space shuttle. The ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Oh God, you don't see me as a sinner anymore, regardless of what my flesh might tell me to do, and sometimes I fall and do it. Regardless of what my mind might say that's contrary and crosswise to your written word, I have been made the righteousness of God in my spirit man. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in this body, and my body and my mind give me a fit, but in my spirit, the real me, The man who's been created in the image and likeness of God, I am the righteousness of God, and I have absolute authority over Satan and demon powers. I'm a joint heir with Jesus, and I have a right to place a demand on all the gold and silver is in the earth for the propagation of the gospel. He made the decision to go for it. If you make the same decision that he does, based on your comprehension, your understanding, based on the revelation of righteousness, that you really are. You really are the righteousness of God, whether you feel like it or not, whether you act like it or not. You really are the righteousness of God in your spirit. You really do have the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. That's how we'll do exploits in the earth for Jesus, by getting a hold of that, by not believing the devil's lies. What a bum you are. What a loser you are. What a sinner you are. We have believers today still. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner and you have been saved by grace, but you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You may not look it, you may not act it, you may not feel it, but we take it by faith. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You get anything out of this tonight? It is well between me and God. It is well between you and God. No matter what kind of mistakes, what kind of blunders you may have made, it is well. It is well. The blood is sufficient to cover anything that has gotten you out of righteousness. But that's why the Bible says if we'll confess our sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and you become righteous again. By faith, whether you feel like it or not. You don't have to do 3 weeks of penance. You just receive it immediately. Immediately. Walk it out. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick. Hallelujah. This is blessed meat tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin. We're talking about authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Get a hold of righteousness and that name will start working for you where it wasn't working for you before. He's made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. It's the great exchange. The great exchange. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He did a... We do a little thing, you know, we just believe it. He does a big thing. And we actually become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to give you the Greek definition of that word. Let me spell it for you. D-I-K-A-I-O-S. Righteousness. Let me just give you the Greek word if you want to put it in your notes. D-I-K-A-I-O-S. D-I-K-A-I-O-S. I'll spell it for you one more time. D-I-K-A-I-O-S. It's called dikaios. And it means equitable. It means innocent. And it means holy. Equitable, innocent, and holy. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made equitable, innocent, and holy in him. And as I told you before, equity here doesn't mean how much money you have left in the home you're purchasing, you know, after you've paid for it for a certain amount of time, how much equity you have in the home. That's not what it's talking about. That word equity actually means to have the same standing as another. That's what equity means right there in that Greek word. To have the same standing as another. It also means to have the same character as another. Now who's being referred to here? Who do we have the same standing with before God? I mean, who do we have the same standing as before God? Jesus. Jesus. I didn't get that right, but I just got it right. We have the same standing with God as Jesus. Not because of what we did. Righteousness is received by faith. Romans chapter 5 says, if you try to achieve your own righteousness in your flesh, you lose it. The more you try to achieve righteousness, the more you're just pedaling backwards. It has to be accepted by faith. We have the same standing with God as Jesus. We have the same character with God as Jesus. When we're born again, that means when God looks at us, all he sees is Jesus. That's all he sees. And that's what we need to learn to see. We need to get a revelation of that. That when God looks at us, if we're born again, all he sees is Jesus in us. All he sees is Jesus' character, even though we might not act like it. Just repent when you don't act like it, and he'll cleanse you of all that is unrighteous. When God looks at us, this is what the Bible teaches. All he sees is innocence, not guilt. All he sees is holiness, not defilement, because of Jesus in us. If we'll just get a hold of that, our prayer life will go through the ceiling and go through the roof. Amen? Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority, E.W. Kenyon says, because righteousness is actually equity, to have the same standing with God as Jesus, and it's also innocence and holiness. We share the same holiness, we share the same innocence, we share the same character before God as his Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. It seems too good to be true, but it's not. God doesn't see us as a bunch of wretched old sinners. We need to stop seeing ourselves as wretched old sinners. Amen? There is therefore now, Romans 8:2, no condemnation for those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. We truly are God's children. He really is our Father. I told you recently one day, I was talking to God, crying out to God, I kept God this, God this, God that, and I heard God say in my spirit as clearly as I've ever heard him say anything, call me Father. And it convicted me. I mean, it didn't condemn me. Condemnation brings you down. Conviction brings you up, makes you want to repent. I repented immediately. I said, oh, Father, I'm sorry. Amen? He's our Father. We're his children. We have the same standing with God as Jesus. If we'll just get a hold of that, we'll get a hold of what we're hearing here tonight, the name of Jesus will go to work for us like it never worked before. It's not based on actions. It's not based on good deeds. It results in good deeds, but it's not based on good deeds. It's based on what Jesus did at Calvary. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf that we might be made the righteousness of God in him by faith. Do you see that? Righteousness. The most misunderstood doctrine in all of Scripture, it shouldn't be. And again, it happened in your spirit. Amen? Look over here in 1 John chapter 4. A couple more scriptures and we'll dismiss. Amen? Hallelujah!
Amen.
Praise be to God. I love the subject of righteousness. Amen? Are you there in 1 John 4? Hallelujah. I could teach on righteousness every service. And you know, I just might. But I'll limit myself if I decide to do that. Amen? I'll only do it for the next 10 years if I decide to do it at all. Amen? I could teach on righteousness. People need a revelation of righteousness, of who we really are in Christ Jesus. The body of Christ is yet to understand it. Now we're seeing it more clearly than we have in centuries gone by. But we really need to hook into this and get a hold of this so that we can do the works of Jesus, get him back here, and get ourselves out of here, both barrels blasting. Get on to eternity. Amen? You know, it's God's will through Jesus that we be restored to a position of heaven on earth. Heaven on earth while we're here. He wants to restore us to the same position here on this earth that Adam and Eve experienced in the garden before they fell. That's how he wants us to live on this earth. That's his will. But it's not going to happen. We're not going to experience days of heaven on earth as long as we're seeing ourselves as a bunch of crummy loser sinners. Amen? We need to drop our worthlessness consciousness and develop a righteousness consciousness. The only way that's going to happen is to study the word of righteousness in the Bible. Receive the word of righteousness. He doesn't want you to have a worthlessness consciousness. He wants you to have a righteousness consciousness. He wants you to know that you have the ability to stand in his presence at any time and stay as long as you want without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Let us therefore come boldly and confidently before the throne of mercy and grace that we might find mercy and grace to help in the time of our greatest need. Oh, he's calling us to his feet today. Amen? He's not pushing us away in his wrath. He's pulling us in his love. Amen? You can go into the presence of God because of Jesus. If you got sin in your life, just ask him to forgive you. And the blood is sufficient. You go right on in there. And you can stay as long as you want. Hallelujah. And unlike the Vatican, nobody's going to tell you it's time to go. Another busload coming through. Stay as long as you want. Nobody encouraging you to kiss his ring on the way up. Make sure you visit the gift shop. A couple of holy relics so we can make a buck off you. You go in the presence of God. Stay there as long as you want. Worship him. Praise him. Talk to him. He'll take time for you. He loves you. We're family. We are not wretched sinners. But we are saved by grace. God's ability in us to do what we were unable to do for ourselves. We have been made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Equity. We have the same standing with God as Jesus, the same innocence, and the same holiness, and the same character. Whether you feel like it, look like it, act like it or not. That's you. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that what we're reading here in the Bible? Look, you're over there in 1 John chapter 4. What took you so long to get there? 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. But we don't want to read past that too quickly. When we confess Jesus as the Son of God, God comes to live in us through the agency of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about righteousness. In verse 16, we have known and believed the love, not the wrath that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, through God living in us, through Christ living in us, through the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And because of that, we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he, Jesus, is, so are we as soon as we get to heaven. So are we in this earth. Is that what your Bible says? Because that's what my Bible says. And if your Bible doesn't say that, you need to throw it away and get one that says what my Bible says. Because my Bible says, as he is, so are we in this earth. There's another reference to righteousness right there. There's another reference to equity, innocence, and holiness. We have the same standing with God in this earth, not when we get to heaven. We have the same standing with God in this earth right now as Jesus has with him at the Father's right hand in heaven. Can you believe that? You can believe that. Amen? God gives you faith to believe that. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus isn't some wretched old sinner. He's righteous. He's righteous. He's righteous. He's innocent. He's holy. He's of a morally pure, upright character in existence. And so are you in your spirit, man, the real you. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you just live in that old bag of bones, and you're going to lay it down one day. It'll be picked up and restored and be perfected, amen? And you'll go off into eternity to live with Jesus in a perfected body, just like he's in a perfected body. But right now, we're in the earth, and we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be made the righteousness of God. We already are. As he is, so are we in this earth. Amen? You could die and go to heaven right now. And that's not advisable. But you could, and we're not encouraging you to. But you could die right now and go to heaven. And if you did when you got there, you would discover that you are no more righteous there than you were when you were on earth. Righteousness doesn't increase when you get to heaven. There's only one degree of righteousness. It's perfect. It's God's righteousness. We're the righteousness of God in him. God can't be perfected. Righteousness can't be perfected. You getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Baba loves my preaching. She should. She gives me $20 bills and she says, preach good again. You can keep that. There's only one degree of righteousness. It's perfect. You can't grow in righteousness. And you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be perfect righteousness. You already are. Woo! That'll help your prayer life if you grab a hold of that. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We'll do great exploits in the earth, just like all these other great men and women of God. Marilyn Hickey, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Lester Summerall. Who else?
Billy
Brendan, Joyce Meyer. They've gotten a hold of righteousness. They know who they are in Christ. And they could not give a flying rip anymore about who they were outside of Christ. Because that's in the past. God doesn't even look at that. There's only one degree of righteousness. It's perfect. It's here now on this earth. As he is in this world, so are you. And as he is, so are you in this world. Amen? You can grow in faith, and you need to, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. We grow in faith because faith comes by hearing. But you can't grow in righteousness. It's not possible. Yet, say I'm it.
I'm
it now. You can grow in love, and you better grow in love because faith works by love. We need to perfect our love walk. Well, we don't have to perfect righteousness. We can't. It's perfect. If you would, when you do leave this earth, if you should die, should Jesus tarry and you die first, before he comes, you will get to heaven and you will stand there and you will say, Pastor John is right again. Hallelujah. Isn't that unusual? I am no more righteous here than I was on earth. If only I had gotten a hold of it on the earth. Hallelujah. I'd have been able to bring more souls with me. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. This will be our last verse of scripture. Listen, Jesus is innocent. Jesus is holy. Jesus has power. As you're going to Ephesians chapter 2, Jesus has power over Satan, over circumstances, over sickness, over disease. Amen. So do you. Oh, say, Lord, forgive me. I receive this revelation of righteousness. Amen. I received this revelation. Ephesians chapter 2. It happens in your spirit now. Not in your crazy mind. Amen. Not in your body that's still in need of redemption. It happened in your spirit. I'm not calling you crazy, but your mind will do crazy things to you. Your mind will tell you this isn't true. Your mind will tell you this isn't true. But if you don't believe the revelation of righteousness, you just don't believe the Bible. That's all there is to it. But you do believe the Bible. You do believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. Therefore, you do believe that you are the righteousness of God. You have equity, innocence, and holiness before God, just like Jesus, based on faith. It's not something that's going to happen in the sweet by and by. It happened back there at Calvary. You've been it all along. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. You're there. This is good preaching tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you hath he quickened, or made alive again, who were dead in trespass and sins, raised you up out of that sin mess, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation. That word means manner of life. Among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, the devil's kids, even like everybody else who hasn't accepted Christ yet, amen? But God, those are two of the most powerful words in all of Scripture, but God, who is rich in wrath for his great wrath, no, it says, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, spiritually dead, ruled by pride in our sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath, past tense, he's not going to do it, honey, he's already done it. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It happened in your spirit, not your body, not your mind, in your spirit, the real you, the part of the triune being you, who was created in the image and likeness of God. Jesus said, God is a spirit. In John 4:26, he said, God is a spirit. He's a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, Jesus said. In Genesis 1:26 says that you have been created in his image and in his likeness. If God's a spirit, you're a spirit. You've been created in your human spirit, and you've been made the righteousness of God, the real you. You know your spirit, I told you this before, I'll tell you again, looks just like you. Just like you. Amen? Helen's as good looking as she is in her beautiful face, because that's what her spirit looks like. Her skin is stretched over her spirit. I'm as good looking as I am because my spirit's a good-looking spirit. Amen? My skin is stretched over my spirit face. If I were to drop my body right now and go to heaven, you dropped yours and went to heaven, we'd meet up in heaven, you'd know who I am. You know me now, you'd know me then. I look exactly the same because I am a spirit.
Hallelujah.
I am a spirit. The real me is a spirit. And it's in my spirit, the real me, created in the image and likeness of God, that I am the righteousness of God. That's all God deals with. Deals with me and deals with you as a spirit. A recreated, born-again human spirit that's been made in His image. Recreated in His image and likeness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you are seated this very night as I speak with you, by faith, in the position of dignity and dominion at the Father's right hand, in Him, family member. You're not a servant. You're not a... People in the Old Testament, they were servants of God. All these great men and women of God in the Old Testament who did great exploits, they weren't God's children. They were His servants. We've been privileged in our generation, in the dispensation that we live in, to be birthed into this earth and to become children of God. And if children, heirs, and joint heirs with Jesus, get a hold of it. Are you getting anything out of this tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know you are. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful revelation. Amen. We've been translated. Hallelujah. Let me just read Colossians 1:12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What inheritance? He's made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. What inheritance is He talking about? Righteousness. We have inherited it in Christ. It's been bestowed upon us. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's not something you do. It's not something you do. It's something you receive by faith. Have you received the free gift of righteousness as a conscious act of your own free will as a result of the new birth? Do you realize you're the righteousness of God? Have you made a conscious decision as an act of your own free will to say to the Father, I receive it? Because the scripture we opened with in Romans 5:17 says, as many as receive, you got to put your faith on it, as many as receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, those are the ones who will reign and rule in life by Christ Jesus. Do you receive it? Do you receive the word of righteousness? Do you receive the revelation of righteousness? Let's stand up and worship God this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Father God. You said if we believe, if we're baptized, we'll be saved. And You said these signs will follow all who believe. You said in My name we will cast out demons. We don't cast out unclean spirits out of our own lives and others by our own righteousness, by self-righteousness. We do it by the righteousness of God Jesus. You said unless and except Your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can't even see the kingdom of God. He was talking about the Pharisees' self-righteousness. There's only one way that our righteousness can exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, and that is to receive the free gift of God's righteousness. That's the only righteousness that exceeds the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. Jesus, You said, except Your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't operate in kingdom principles. Well, our righteousness does exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees because we receive abundance of grace tonight. We receive the free gift of righteousness. We receive equity, innocence, and holiness before You tonight, Lord, the ability to stand in Your presence without a sense of guilt or inferiority. And we have Jesus and Jesus alone to thank for that. Let's lift our hands and begin to